What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yala. Your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of what, Terrence?
Good old humor.
Good old humor, man.
Yes.
It is another week. How's your weekend, man?
Good lah. We are a week closer to the official coronation ceremony of Lawrence Wong. 1505.
Less than 2 weeks left, lah.
I mean, next week, like, essentially.
1505,
huh? Yeah.
Woo!
The 40 numbers have been sold out already. You know, I'm sure all the mainstream media and alternative news media sites are preparing the material to launch ahead of the coronation next week.
Mm.
You know, maybe we'll catch another Lawrence Wong Taylor Swift cover at some point.
But, like, what? There's probably some sort of formal process, but what do you understand to be the actual process? Where will it happen?
I believe Istana. It's Istana, yeah.
Istana?
Yeah.
15th of May.
I'm guessing the invites have already been sent out. Have you seen yours? Have you got yours in the mail? No?
No?
Oh, neither have I. Yeah.
Oh, they're invites.
We're not invited. In case anyone's wondering. Yeah.
Oh, 15th of May. Morning, it'll be morning, right?
I don't know. These things happen once every 20 years, man. Like, it's hard to say what is established norm. And this is only what our fourth prime minister in charge, right?
Yeah. I mean, even if we wanted to go down and soak up the air, we can't because we'll be at that tech event, Echelon X.
We still could if it's in the evening or something, maybe.
What, the coronation?
The ceremony.
No, I don't think so.
Sometimes the presidential news... one was in the evening, right? Wasn't it?
That was because of the elections, lah.
No. As in, after that, the ceremony was actually in the evening. Yeah, I believe it was in the evening.
I thought this one they were doing in the day so that the news cycle can just, just have a field day after that.
Who gives a shit about a news cycle when you're, like, crowning the next PM? Like,
the news has to write about it, right?
Yeah, they stay up for us. We don't... I mean, the PM doesn't stay up for them.
I don't think it works like that. So you're thinking it might be at night, is it? I think it'll be during the day.
I don't know. As in, I mean, it's just a guess, lah. Your guess is as good as mine. But I think the presidential one was in the evening. Wait, let me just fact check that.
I totally forgot. It's one week from a new era, man.
What?
It's a new era, lah.
Yeah, it is a new era. It is a new era. Yeah.
Imagine what PM Lee will feel.
Yeah. What? Sorry?
Imagine what PM Lee will feel.
PM Lee?
Yeah. I mean, he'll be SM
happy,
after that.
Senior happy minister retirement. After that. Happy retirement, all right?
No, lah, not retirement. Right? He'll still be senior minister. Right?
But the responsibilities are different, right? It's very different. Yeah.
But, I mean, interesting. 15th May. Wednesday, right?
Yeah. Okay,
The whole time, I'm like...
I've been trying to find... Yeah.
Terrence, this is a two-host podcast.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, I don't know. Anyway, someone, whoever can go online and find for us on the Hansard or whatever, please do. What time was the presidential swearing-in ceremony?
What is the Hansard thing?
It's the official record of parliament. Yeah.
Oh, because I saw some news that there's this new AI powered search engine for parliament records.
Yeah.
So Hansard is a thing.
Yeah.
I see. But next week probably the podcast topic settled already. Interesting. Yeah.
How was your weekend?
Weekend was okay. Went to check out some stuff that I found on Carousel. My mom came back from KL, so went to the airport to pick her up. Went to a friend's kid's baptism, which you were there for also. So overall, the weekend just flew by.
What do you have for lunch and dinner? I'm kidding. we don't need more details, more mundane details of the weekend. I'm just asking out for lightness.
No wonder you were giving me that half smile as I was talking. I realized I did share more than I expected to. It just came off the tongue, Terrence.
It's not necessary. Too much information.
Then what should I have said? Just did errands and...
It was good. Yeah. It was good. You know, weather was nice.
Then why ask the question in the first place?
It's out of politeness. You know how in the US, every time, I mean, you learned it long ago.
How are you?
How are you?
How are you doing?
Good. And then you move on, right? You don't actually have to tell. In fact, it's too much when you tell an American, how your day actually is. Oh, it sucks because this happened, that happened. You're just supposed to say, good, how are you? And then, great. And then move on.
But podcast different, lah. The people are listening to us. To feel our life story.
I quote a very wise man who once said, whatever happens in the West, it will trickle down to us in Asia. Wow,
what an astute observer.
It was by this very smart guy named Harish, right? who makes his observations that anything that is good in the West trickles down to us in Asia.
But since then, as you pointed out also, yeah. that yeah, maybe the trickle down thing is not the best thing to say, because it should be, I don't know, like not trickle down. Because trickle down economics already has such a bad slant. So I've retired the phrase.
I've retired the phrase. I think I think of it more like osmosis. Stuff travels across the world, right? Not just necessarily from west to east. We also have stuff that travels there.
Reverse osmosis also.
It's not really reverse, because the world is a circle, right? A globe. So it doesn't, the direction doesn't matter, because whatever direction, it's not reverse. There's no right direction and wrong direction, right? That's what I'm saying. Everything is just like osmosis.
Or diffusion. Diffusion.
Diffusion, yes.
Actually,
yes.
Osmosis is only for water.
Correct.
Diffusion. All right.
Look forward to the new term that you'll be using to describe cultural trends.
Diffusion of ideas.
Diffusion
of ideas.
But yes.
So, we do have stuff to talk about. If you're new to this channel and wondering what the fuck are these two people going on about, we do have stuff to talk about. But before that, what's the general spiel, Terrence?
Welcome to the podcast if you're new. And if you're new here, and this has added value in your life, please consider following, subscribing, or banging the notification bell next to the button.
And you can always leave us a review on Spotify, on Apple. And if you want to work with us, you can reach out to us at ministryoffunny.com.
Yeah.
All right. There's a place on our website where you can leave a message and we will get back to you.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, shall we jump into it? I mean, all relevant to what we were talking about earlier, right?
Yeah.
What is this?
In the lead up to the coronation. So last week on 4th May, Deputy Prime Minister and soon-to-be Prime Minister Lawrence Wong gave a speech at a gala dinner held to commemorate the 55th anniversary of the non-profit suicide prevention centre Samaritans of Singapore, SOS. So he alluded to the fact that Singapore, i.e. the government, will have to consider additional safeguards around excessive screen time and social media usage for children. As part of the overall discussion towards, protecting the mental health of the youth. So, this is not the first time he's spoken about mental health. I think even last year, this was back in... Last year, he mentioned that mental health is a national priority. Earlier this year, actually. He said there'll be, there's a bunch of goals he's hoping to achieve by 2030, including the number of public sector psychiatrists and psychologists. So, when you saw this, was this new news? Was this surprising? What's going through your mind, Terrence?
What's going through my mind is that, Lawrence Wong, very big focus on mental health. Not just this, but I think like other events and other networks or agencies that he's been part of, mental health among youth has been a very big priority for him. Whether or not it's to gain votes, I think, time will tell, because there's a younger... there are younger people now who are going to be voting for the first time in the upcoming election. And seeing him as a prime minister... that's new for everyone, right? So this focus on mental health is he's been quite consistent throughout the whole thing, very supportive of all these things. But this one is interesting, because this is a step about talking about legislation when it comes to mental health. No longer just about I come and support your charity, please donate to the charity that helps people. This one's about, can we institute any legislation to protect the mental health of our children?
Which, it's always going to be a debate, right? How much do you want the government to be involved in your life? He brought up one example, which I didn't know existed. Apparently at KK Women's and Children Hospital and the polyclinics, all parents to have are advised that there should be zero screen time for infants for the first 36 months. So when it says advice, I'm guessing it's not legislation or law or rule yet. But something as explicit as that, I didn't know it existed. Do you know about it?
Guidelines.
Guidelines.
Not rules or anything.
To hear that some legislation might be there, you think just off the bat, good or bad?
I think it's worth examining. Mm. I think it's worth examining in the sense that I don't think, if we were, very libertarian, wired people, Western, what's the acronym?
W-I-R-E.
Western industrial, something democratic, basically, if we were from a wired society, right? Maybe we might look upon something like that as the government encroaching on our freedoms to do things.
Yeah.
But every time it comes to minors, I do take a more conservative stance with it, because, again, I always mention that a lot of these effects that social media have on our youth has been documented, and I've always talked about reading the book by... about the coddling of the American mind by Jonathan Haidt and can't remember the co-author's name.
Yeah.
And yeah, even recently I heard another podcast with Jonathan Haidt on Joe Rogan's show. And it reinforces a lot of the things that, our minds have not evolved to really adapt or understand the power of social media yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get sucked in, we get addicted, we change a lot of our day-to-day behaviors because of it. And this is us talking as adults, not even as children.
Mm.
So when we put these mobile devices in the hands of our children and don't monitor them, you never know what it might lead to in terms of their development and all. So until we have a better hold and better understanding, a better grasp of everything, I feel like nothing should be off the table in terms of what we should get social media companies, big tech companies to do to help our children's mental health.
But then you don't think about, one sentiment I've seen online is that, this is the parent's job. Terrence, as a parent, what do you say to people who say that?
But you can't, the parent, yes, but you can't be there 24/7 either, right? When your kid is with his friends in school or just in another environment where they have somehow have access to a mobile device, whether it's their friend's device or something like that, right?
Mm.
You have no control over that. And because of that, if it's easy for them to access things they shouldn't be accessing, you can't blame the parent. But here, what they're trying to put down is to institutionalize certain safeguards in place.
Mm.
I feel, on top of the parents being vigilant, these institutional safeguards would also help.
Because I think I was surprised by the reaction on Reddit where I saw some people... The common sentiment was that the government is stepping in too much. Everything also they want to control. Even the example that was mentioned was that many social media platforms have an age requirement of 13 to create profiles.
Yeah.
Which is damn low.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was it that the TikTok CEO show said about his kids being in Singapore? Is it because in other countries there's no age requirement for TikTok?
At least it's higher or something, or lower, I think.
I think it's lower because I think when he was posed with the question, do your children use TikTok? He said, my children are based in Singapore and they're not 13 yet.
Yeah.
I think maybe overseas it's for younger.
Mm.
But if it's to kind of mandate or pass laws that will affect social media companies, I also feel that's good. Because without that legislation, then it's the social media companies making up the rules. And that is scary as shit. But then what do you think about if they really go down to mandating many things that your kids cannot do or can do?
Mandating? Meaning, on social media and all? I feel like that's social media is where you can start, right? Mm. If anything... if you can really at least monitor social media a bit more, with a bit more robust guidelines or parameters in place, that's a very good start already for our kids, for children, right? But in terms of mandating, the tricky thing is that the people will always find workarounds, right?
Mm.
Remember back in the day when the internet was in its infancy, and then we realized that Playboy.com would be banned in Singapore.
Mm.
Right. Then everyone was like,
what was the workaround?
Huh?
What was the workaround?
I mean, over the years, VPN. At the end of the day, that those banned on those sites or whatever, there's still a thousand other sites that people can could have access, la, right? Yeah. It's just that the main brand name ones, Playboy.com, la, what, XXX.com, all that were banned, la, right? Mm. And that was a signal to people that this was not a, you know, this was not a desirable part of society that we wanted to advocate. La. Mm. Just as like when... just because the website, the cheating website, Madison Avenue got banned, doesn't mean that cheating stops overnight either, la, right? But it's just an indication, you know, to people that, hey, this is not something that we like in our society. La. And in some ways, Singapore has been at the forefront of, I wouldn't say at the forefront, but we've pushed through certain things that are first in the world, like how we mandated that Facebook would need to put up certain... Put like when, if there was a correction order for misinformation, right? Facebook would be forced to put up something to state that, right?
Mm.
And I think Facebook did it very begrudgingly initially. And now it's just normal, right? You know, it's just, I mean, it's just
Pofma,
part of...
Pofma is the first in the world, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. And then Pofma on a very large scale, you know, social networking site like Facebook, it was a big thing, and it, you know, other countries came and studied how we did it, right? Or not how we, but basically our government did it, right?
Mm.
You can debate, you can spend time debating the merits, pros and cons, but the point is that slightly more adversarial relationship between governments and Facebook, Singapore took a very quick and clear stance against it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what we're saying is that, what I'm trying to say is that Singapore can do some of these things that maybe, if you look back at it in history, maybe it might turn out to be actually a better thing for our children that we do put these safeguards in place. Yeah.
But I know for certain things in the past, you would prefer that the government don't step in.
Yeah.
I can't remember what, but I think it's also been on this podcast we have debated.
Definitely.
But for you, the changing point is minors.
Yeah, minors, kids. Yeah. Because, I mean, look at us adults. The way we react to social media, it's horrible. You know, when you go down the Instagram wormhole on a Friday evening, over a glass of wine or something like that, that's the end of your night already. You feel like crap at the end of it. You feel like, why is everyone's life so perfect and mine so bad? And you're just crying in a heap at the corner of your bed on a Friday night. How do we expect, you know, if adults can't even comprehend that, how do we expect our children to be able to do anything about it? Right?
Yeah. I think for me, the bigger thing is less about the minors. It's more that... The alternative is that the social media companies will set the rules.
Okay.
And I just don't trust them. Because it would never be in the best interest of the consumer, as much as they make it seem like that. And I mean, like the one thing that we still don't know is the impact of social media on kids as they become adults. I think one shock thing I shared a few weeks ago, maybe I mentioned, was this article that was titled, the first social media babies are growing up and they are horrified. It's an article on The Atlantic.
Oh, yeah.
And they just talked about how all the people who grew up in the 2000s, whose parents were putting all their photos and videos on YouTube and Facebook, now they are in their 20s. And they profiled a few who are just horrified by it. They were bullied because I think the parent of one put everything, like she pooped in her pants, as a kid, diapers, all like really cute. But now in her 20s, she got like PTSD and shit like that. So we still have no idea how, and that was Facebook. Now with TikTok and Instagram, we don't know how it's impacting people.
Correct.
The one thing we do know is that the rate of suicides seems to be going up damn high.
For youth, right?
For youth. I mean, anecdotally, just hearing from people in the report, it's scary as shit. And even when doing research for this podcast, you know, going on the forums and all, every few days there'll be one post, you know, from someone saying, you know, I'm almost going to give up.
Yeah.
Tell me why I shouldn't.
Yeah.
And you really, you're like, oh shit, people are on the brink. So on that note, it is scary. But I also saw some comments online saying, oh, this is low-hanging fruit for the incoming PM. You know, he's not solving the problems that are making people anxious in the first place. You know, cannot own a house, everything damn expensive, and that is causing anxiety. So why just deal with the symptoms? What do you make of that?
I mean, to amount, I guess the job encompasses all of that, right? Lawrence Wong's job. But would I begrudge him that he's putting more emphasis on the, you know, having more resources for mental health, for helping people's mental health? No, I don't. I think a lot of the stigma attached to mental health issues and all, that's something that can be solved, you know, with change in mindsets. I mean, trying to, you know, educating people to have a change in mindset. And it's not just about, it's not just always about the harder stuff like the dollars and cents. That naturally will lead to people feeling more, less, you know, worried about life and all, anxious and all that, right? Of course, that is part of his job, but I don't think they're mutually exclusive. Like, you can't, like, just because you're talking about mental health means that you're not having enough time, not focusing enough time on other issues. So.
Yeah, I would imagine if, like, you go to the doctor with a cough, then the doctor says, your cough, right, is caused by poor eating.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do anything about your cough.
Yeah.
You go and change the eating. When you're like, doctor, I'm coughing. I'm coughing blood. No, sorry. I don't treat the symptoms. I attack the heart of the problem, the core of the problem.
That's a good analogy. I think, like if anything, Lawrence Wong is treating those symptoms, or he's trying to help to treat those symptoms a bit more. But maybe, there are bigger issues in society to worry about. But some of those issues, like even like, for example, the role of social media in society, we're still grappling with it every day. Even governments around the world don't know how to deal with it, right? Look at the shit show that's TikTok in the US and all that now. So it's like, in the meantime, what do you do? You try to inoculate your young against the harmful effects that are known of social media. And why would you say no to governments doing more to do that, right?
Yeah, because even imagine if it was a converse and he says, you know what, this problem is meant for parents only. We're not going to do anything about it.
We fix the other things first. HDB,
we fix
everything.
The other thing. Then also people will be not happy. This thing, like what you said about what was mentioned in the book, like we are not equipped to deal with this. Even for us being in social media, whenever there's some new TikTok function and all, I'm like, oh fuck, what the hell is this? You know, like, you just have to take time to get used to it. And I mean, in terms of the stigma thing, like, I think IMH still has a bad rep. If you have mental health issues now, do you go to IMH straight?
You can, yeah.
But it's just like another specialist clinic. Like, you still can go polyclinic.
I think a lot of times people go to
polyclinic. And then you get a referral. But, wow, it's scary, man.
Yeah.
Scary, this thing.
But I mean, ultimately, you I'm sure you go around, you see a lot of kids younger than even 3 years old, right? Using their parents' iPads or iPhones. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think it's not ideal, but I'm not a parent yet.
Okay.
And I can imagine sometimes you're like, parents are just, you know what, just shut the fuck up. I'm just going to let my kid watch the screen.
Correct.
So I may have been judgy earlier. I think I've matured a lot over the past few years.
Okay.
When it comes to this kind of thing. So don't judge. Not ideal, but I won't judge. What do you think? Like the directive, no screen time for 36 months. That's 3 years.
Advice, 3 years,
I don't know whether there are parents there out there who can actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like for you?
I mean, firstly, it's near impossible to have no screen time because, for example, sometimes you walk into a food court. There are screens in the food court, literally on the ceiling. I'm not even kidding. Like on the ceiling, they're playing things on the ceiling. Like just
this?
Like for example, the Great Wall City food court is a railroad themed food court, right? So on the ceiling, there's like LED panels with planes flying by, and then on the floor there's also panels with trains and everything like that. So kids, their screens are everywhere.
Even lift lobbies?
Yeah,
even
lift lobbies. Everything. So there are already screens everywhere, and when kids see them, they get excited, or at least they just get transfixed by the screens. I mean, it's out of home. Are you going to ban those out of home TVs? You're not, right? It's just part of everyday life. So it's quite hard for anyone to really say that your kid has zero screen time from the get-go already.
But what defines screen time also? Is it they are using the screen or the screen is just there?
Both. For me, it's both, right? Like you go to your relative's house, I mean, if they're playing TV? I don't know, TV or something.
That's considered screen time?
Yeah, of course the kid's going to sit there and watch TV, right? Naturally.
But it doesn't feel like that is the regular screen time,
Not regular, but...
No, as in, I thought screen time is more for devices that they hold in their hands and all.
I think I define everything as TV and all that as screen time also, right? But I would say this, I mean, as a parent of a young toddler also, is that I also try not to judge, right? You know, people's situations are different, and sometimes taking care of the child can get quite difficult, frustrating, especially for those with multiple children as well, right? And sometimes you just need to catch a break. You need to give a child something that will keep them entertained for a while. And I'll admit, even at times when, Optimus Prime, when he was advising Hot Rod about how to use the matrix in his body. He said,
I don't know.
Only use it in your darkest hour, right? And sometimes it is the darkest hour for the parents. And sometimes for me, there's like on flights, something that when you really cannot afford to have your kids screaming and bawling, then yeah, like, there's screen time. And there's a screen when you sit in a flight, right? You can't help it, right? And everyone's watching you. Then you tell your child, oh, you cannot watch, you know? A bit tough, right? But the ones that I feel a bit, I think preventable screen time is when I see the child at dinner with their own iPad or iPhone using it. And the parents also on their own iPhone, iPad, using their own iPhone, iPad. It's just like, then it's like, the whole family is just using iPhone, iPad together, right? Mm. And it's like, I get it if you're trying to do something or you're trying to, feed your child or you're trying to catch a breath. But if you just accept it as part of the whole family, everyone's just using the iPhone together and not interacting with each other at the table.
Mm.
I think that's not good, right? Yeah. It teaches the child that family time means everyone just sticking to their own devices,
What you do when you're adults, right? When your children.
But even adults not good, right?
I know it's not good, I remember that a couple of times in my first job, I think this was 2011 already. People were already on their phones, the whole table of phones.
At lunch and everything.
Yeah.
I think you're the type that will call out people, right? You'll be very angry when people use.
Let's talk.
You're the type that if you're talking halfway and someone starts using phone, then you'll stop talking, right? You'll slow your...
If it's just two people, of course I would slow,
If it's
two people hosting a podcast where one person's on the phone, of course I would call them out,
Researching for a question that was asked, which I would actually tell you, I have found the transcript of PM's message to Taman Singh, and it says, ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered here this evening for the inauguration of President Taman.
So you found it in the end.
So it is evening. So that's important screen time, That's screen time that's necessary.
And I also found the acronym for WIET. Western, Educated, Rich, Industrialized, and Democratic.
Western, Industrialized, Rich, Educated, Demographic. WIET societies. Just to finish my point earlier. So if I see a whole family using phones together, then I feel, is that necessary, But I try not to judge if it's they're trying to do something or feed a child or what.
Maybe they're all on a Google Hangout.
They could be. Just like back in the day, during COVID when a lot of families were separated. But no, I see them all on the same table using the phone together. Not a good thing.
But I mean, you can look at it either way, whether it's just politics or whatnot. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because even speaking to some people that both you and I know, when you hear them and their experiences with people around them falling to suicide and all, it's terrible, man.
It's terrible.
And every few days you see something happening in the news that makes you go oh shit, people are losing their minds.
So how do you feel about Lawrence Wong being so proactive about this?
How do I feel?
Vis-a-vis his playing guitar and everything.
I much prefer to hear him talk about stuff like this guitar thing. Guitar thing, I tell you, if next week during the coronation he plays the fucking guitar, right? I think that'll be too much, man.
Yeah.
That'll be too much.
He'll be playing Home. He'll play Home and other NDP songs on his guitar.
As PM Lee is walking away, going home, plays Home. This is my seat now. But that'll be too much.
Yeah.
If there's a guitar, I tell you, that'll be too much.
I can't wait for it to really happen, and then after that,
oh my god,
we should do a live stream of your face while you're watching it.
Is it going to be televised? It will be televised,
Of course, it'll be televised. It's the biggest event in Singapore's but it's a big event, right?
Yeah, it's a big event. Internationally also, get a lot of coverage.
Oh yeah, for sure.
A lot of coverage.
Yeah,
wow, exciting.
Yeah. Happy to hear people's thoughts about this, whether you feel the government is overstepping the boundaries or should we have more boundaries for our children, right?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of boundaries and all that, right?
Mm.
I think one particular local actor waded out of the local theatre boundaries to comment on international theatrical production that is in Singapore now.
Mm.
And some have criticized him for it and some have said have supported him also. And that's why it's such an interesting topic. And who is this person?
He's none other than Hossan Leong. Kind of like a legend of MediaCorp, right? And Singapore theatre. He's been around for a while. It was in response to the cancellation at the very last minute of the Hamilton play on May 1st. So Hamilton has been, I think, since mid-May.
Yeah.
No, mid-April to like recently.
Till June. Till June.
Till June.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Early June. I mean, world famous Hamilton. They canceled like very shortly before the May 1st performance. I think some people are saying an hour before they found out.
Yeah.
So, and there were, it made headlines. So, Hossan Leong posted on Thursday, the next day, and I'll quote, certain lines, Hamilton cancels a show cause of cast illness, it makes headlines. With all due respect, and I get it, but Sing Theatre's Little Shop of Horrors had two actors down and yet they went on. The director took over the roles that need understudying, including Seymour. And obviously that wasn't newsworthy enough. So basically he told Singapore to look at yourselves. Mm-hmm. You don't support your own productions. Instead, you look at multi-million dollar franchises and go, oh my God, that's amazing. And just said, yeah, like, there's a space for every production, foreign or Singaporean. But so support is key. Then, of course, that got like some backlash, kind of like rebutting, saying, what do you expect Hamilton to do? If they're sick, they don't perform. And then Hossan Leong went on to clarify that on Threads that, yeah, he emphasized that there is space for every production. Basically, kind of saying that we shouldn't just worship foreign productions when there's a lot to be lauded about local productions. So that was that. What made you want to talk about it?
I was kind of confused, actually, about his post. Because people were angry with Hamilton, right? That they cancelled so last minute and felt it was very unprofessional. So in some ways, it was like a lot of people are saying, hey, international production, so unprofessional, right? But Hossan Leong was jumping on that, on I don't know which bandwagon, but saying that, hey, why is the media playing up Hamilton so much when, you know, the local production actually just, you know, chugged along and continued in spite of the illnesses within the cast, right? So I think in that sense, his point was a bit lost, right? Because online, I saw people posting about, you know, like photos of themselves outside the Hamilton Theatre, unhappily, tourists, especially, unhappy with the fact that the show was cancelled so last minute and all. And then, hey, how come don't have understudy? And sort of calling out the professionalism of the production, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think maybe he should have clarified he was just more upset with the fact that there's not a lot of media coverage for the local productions, as opposed to Hamilton, right? And that was the crux of his post. And not so much about the fact that the local production continued chugging along even in spite of illness, right?
But I mean, that was the crux of it, right? Like, why is there no news about that?
But why is... It shouldn't even be news, right? Like, to me, it's that the Hamilton production was a little bit unprofessional, right? Because I think overseas, when I've watched musicals overseas, a lot of times before the show, you hear that, oh, this role will be played by the understudy because of blah, blah. And it's just part of the luck of draw, right? Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. And it's normal, but then for Hamilton to so suddenly not have that in place, I'm also quite surprised. I was just like, I mean, if the media doesn't write about, they wouldn't be writing about a Hamilton thing if people weren't angry about it, right? So it wasn't exactly positive publicity that they were putting around the production.
I think for him, he was just looking at the newsworthiness of it, good or bad. Publicity is bad publicity. I think it's one of those things that, unfortunately, people will always care more about things that are internationally famous. I mean, in some way, his posts got news coverage, which brought news coverage to the place. But my only gripe is that, you know, that whole thing, you don't support local or something, right? We've been hearing that in media for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that thing. Like, of course, you should support local if you want to, but you shouldn't be... not to say you shouldn't be obligated to, but sometimes I feel that phrase is used a little too much. In the sense that, for whatever reason, if the content is not good and people don't watch it, yes, there might be some element of like support local not being there, but also it's not the only reason. But I'm not saying this play is not good. Because like, I think there was, he clarified in another post that one of the actors, his dad passed away a few days before the production started, and he came back to play it because if he didn't, the rest of the shows would be cancelled and it could affect the viability of the theatre company.
Yeah.
So that, I feel, that is news. And on that note, maybe Hossein is getting to the point that why isn't the news covering stories like that? Which, I mean, I can see lah. I didn't know that happened. And I mean, the one thing about media in Singapore, whatever you say about the output and all, people are passionate. And sometimes there's just a lack of resources that makes it difficult to make good shit. It's like a chicken and egg thing. But I think, yeah, I think what he was getting at was that there are stories like that that are worth covering as opposed to just covering Hamilton. Yeah.
Like, okay, so
the human stories of the theatre. I mean, of course, ideally, if there was a journalist who had the news enough to be like, oh, like Hamilton cancels, but look at our local production doing this and all. That could be interesting.
But, yeah, I guess so. But probably, I mean, in the society we live in also, there's people are more, they're more attracted to outrageous, clickbaity kind of headlines, right? Talking about negative things that happened, like the Hamilton cancellation and how many unhappy people there are. They rather talk about that than you know, listen to a feel, more feel-good story, right? It's easier to click on, that's
it's easier to hate on.
Yeah, it's easier to hate on. So, I don't know. If it's about bringing all kinds of eyeballs, regardless of whether positive or negative, if it's bringing eyeballs to production, then okay, I get that point. But I would, the other side of it, I would say, is that the support local thing, I mean, there's like another musical at this point that I think a lot of people in my social circle are hyping about. I think it's called Secondary Musical. A lot of people I know have hyped about it. But what I heard is sold out already. So, you know, we'll have to wait for another run and everything. But I think the bigger thing for me was that I didn't even know of its existence before this, right? And that is probably more of a marketing issue more than anything. Yeah, we could blame the media for not publicizing it more and everything. But at the same time, I think maybe it's time to look beyond traditional mainstream media already, not relying on them, because the truth is, you know, are young people reading newspapers? You know, they're not really there, right? So can is it even a, it might be a red herring to be blaming mainstream media for it, maybe it really should be about other platforms that should be helping to publicize or market our local productions better. And when I say other platforms, I always use the example of like Singapore Airlines, right? It's a brand, it's an international brand, and everyone, a lot of people around the world have a touch point with Singapore Airlines. They have come across Singapore Airlines in some way or another, whether it's stopover flight or they you know, they hear good things about Singapore Airlines. We can do things like, what if they mandate that, you know, the cover of every SIA in-flight magazine has to be a Singapore production or Singapore artist or something on the cover, or the back or whatever, you know? Things like that can be done that aren't like strictly like mainstream media, right? But it's like using our clout, our brand name in, you know, in other areas like aviation to push our local produce, right? Just like how South Korea, you know, if you go and look at Samsung TVs, in any store, right, where they sell TVs, they're most likely going to be playing some K-pop music video, right? I don't know if that's mandated, but, you know, they made it such as, like, Samsung TVs are, like, the best conduit for K-pop videos, the best place to watch K-pop videos, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like we can do more, we meaning our businesses, our, you know, public, private sector, can do more to push local productions without just saying, hey, newspaper should write about it, Yeah, so that's my thing about this. Like, I mean, the newspaper to me is like is not a huge thing.
I mean, maybe the newspaper does write about local plays, but how many younger folk read the newspaper?
Yeah, exactly.
Like last time, there was a segment on local radio, right, where they would play local artists, right?
Yes.
But that was when radio was the go-to when you all listen to music. Like, you know, you leave the radio on, waiting for your favorite song to come on. It comes on, you're like, wow, shit. You try and tape on your recorder and all.
Yeah.
There was a segment, right, playing local music.
Yeah, there was. And there was Lush 99.5 and all, long time ago. Yeah.
But now I guess the tricky thing is a lot more people are not consuming mainstream media.
Yeah.
So even for the things that are under Singapore's control, if they're not publicizing it, then... like you can't depend on TikTok to publicize it.
Correct, yeah.
So yeah, like it just especially when you're competing with Hamilton.
Mm.
Because I got a chance to go last week, right?
Oh wow, lucky you. Wow, privileged you. the one that wasn't cancelled, lah.
Yeah, the day before. And I was amazed by how much hype there was, no?
Oh yeah?
Like, I mean, okay, I'm not someone who watches musicals often.
Yeah.
But after every song that ended, right, people would clap like as though they were in a concert.
Mm. I see.
And like people, like even looking on Reddit, like they know the names of the cast and who are the understudies are.
Yeah.
And just hearing the younger people beside me, they were like, oh my god, this is so amazing. I've been waiting for so and so to do this and so on. Oh my god, I didn't know they were like superstars lah.
Yeah.
I knew the hype was big, but I didn't know the hype was that big.
Yeah.
And I think all their shows in Singapore are sold out more or less.
Sold out, yeah.
Fucking crazy. So yeah lah. And then so this becomes a thing, like on one hand you're getting people interested in musicals, but is it cannibalizing the local scene? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Imagine if Joe Rogan comes to Singapore and records like podcasts from Singapore.
Yeah.
Would you be happy or sad?
I think it would elevate the whole industry here, right?
It would, right? Yeah. But then no one would care about us, lah.
Okay, so this is something that came to my mind recently, right? I also watched something in Singapore that I felt like, oh, okay, that's interesting. It was, one of those candlelight concerts. You heard about it?
No.
They basically turn, you know, that hall in Chimes where you have weddings and stuff like that. They turn it into a space with, like there's a piano performance or whatever, small orchestra performance. And then they line it with thousands of candles. And not real candles, like those small tea-light candles. They just line the whole place with all these candles. So it becomes like a candlelit atmosphere where you can just sit there and listen to musicians play.
And you say I'm privileged music for watching Hamilton. That sounds damn pretentious.
It is pretentious, lah. But I would say that it's a very nice experience, you know, like you. I saw a lot of young people there. They're on their dates and things. I saw a lot of tourists. They're there taking photos and everything, even though it's like completely dark and everything, right? But it's just a nice experience to sit there and to listen. But they're not playing local music, FYI. They are playing. For me, they were playing like anime music from, you know, very well-known anime shows. There's others you can go that play J. Cho music, that play Hans Zimmer music.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. And it happens regularly. And it's not just in Singapore, but it's all big cities around the world. So
candlelight concert. You sit on the floor?
There's chairs. So it's not cheap. But you're not like listening to the original singer play the tunes or anything. But you're listening to classical interpretations of this. So... the bigger thing for me was like, oh, okay. Firstly, it makes use of a space that otherwise would have not been used, right?
Yeah.
Like this Chimes Hall. Like maybe there's no wedding banquet.
The pictures look epic.
Yeah. So it looks epic. Secondly, it gives tourists who are maybe in Singapore for a day or two, and there's no Bruno Mars or Taylor Swift in town, but you can still go to a concert and still be part of an experience, right? That's quite unique because it's like in a Singapore location, Chimes or Victoria Concert Hall, whatever, right?
Yeah.
That you otherwise, what else will you be watching, right? You know? And thirdly, there's the biggest thing for me is that it gives the local musicians something, right?
And so local musicians were performing.
It's a local group of, who are playing classical instruments. So it was like a quartet or something like that, right? And it was they were completely local, like because they spoke in Singapore accent and they are based in Singapore, everything. So it gave them a place to perform in a very nice venue where I hope they get paid also. I mean, I hope they got paid properly, right, for their services. But imagine, at least there's this regular thing going on with different types of music. And as a musician, there's other avenues for you to do certain things. So to me, I was like, oh, this is great because it's a win-win situation for everyone, right? Like this company organizing this, they get the license and the rights to play this person's music, but they hire local musicians to play it, and then the venue operator gets, you know, to fill up those empty slots when they don't have like a big wedding or whatever. And then tourists or all get an experience out of it. So this is not my one stroke thing. I'm not advocating, but it was just, okay, it's an interesting way to create events around Singapore now that we have a lot more tourist inflow because of all these various things, like concerts and events and all that. Gives them something to do. And in the quite historic sites around Singapore.
So this was like something that trickled down from the west to Singapore.
Diffused. I don't know where it started. I don't know why in my head I'm thinking maybe it started in Australia. But I thought, yeah, any city would work in any city. And I think that in all the major cities in the world already. But anyway, my thing was like, yeah, any kind of event that allows the local creative industry to have some work, I think is great. Like when Coldplay came and then Jasmine Soko and then other artists opened for them, I thought that was fantastic. I feel like we're seeing more of these kind of opportunities come out.
I mean, even Jasmine Soko said, right, that was the best week of her life.
Yeah.
Just performing to 60,000 people.
Yeah.
Three nights in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Only thing is, I don't know whether Hamilton had local cast. That would be cool, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think I saw a list. I don't think there was local cast.
But I mean, if it makes all these Grinchers who don't like musicals like yourself actually pay to go to musical, maybe it paths the way for you to actually go and watch a local musical at some point.
I have watched local musicals, okay?
But were you as hyped up as you were for Hamilton?
In fact, I was more hyped up.
You're more hyped up.
I was more hyped up.
You paid more for the ticket also, is it?
For local, no, it's not as expensive.
Okay, you're more hyped up, yeah.
Yeah, more hyped up. I mean, because also like for the local ones, they tend to be smaller venues, so correct, you can really feel the performance. And Hamilton was almost so slick that like at points I was like, wait, are they really singing? Can they sing that well? It was they're insanely talented. But like every word is a song.
I have no issues with that. I know you have issues with that.
Yeah, I have issues with that. I don't know. Am I supposed to be paying attention to every word or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Les Mis is like that, right?
Yeah.
You saw the live version, is it?
Yeah.
I'm just not a musical person.
Exactly. But you went. You went for Hamilton. So, I mean,
I went with my wife.
So it's made you partake in something a bit more local, right? I mean, not say local, but at least it's in Singapore, right?
And there's buzz
and there's hype and everything.
Yeah, So, I mean, in general, like entertainment in Singapore, the options are getting more varied. It's a good thing. And I hope that also spills over to like the local productions.
I do. At the end of the day, I think there's still a lot that can be done to support more local productions. Right? Like all the banners that you see around town now, they're all about the golf event.
That happened
over the weekend. But
there was a golf event?
There was a golf event. And all around town, there are all these banners promoting it. And I'm like, I don't even watch golf or follow golf, but I know that there's a big golf event happening, So you hope that, you know, some of this can also be done for local productions.
I mean, nowadays, I love it when I see on YouTube pop up like highlights of like the school games. Like the C-Boys football.
The
B-Boys football. I'll just watch because I'm like, fuck, this is great, man. And I mean, of course, it's not as slickly edited as like Premier League highlights and all, but you still got highlights, no?
Yeah.
Got music and all.
Correct.
And that kind of stuff, it really elevates that. And I also think there can be more done for local productions and all, but understanding also that resources are always a tight thing. I mean, even for us, right, when we do shows like the Afterlife Support and all, we also wish more people would listen. And it's always a balance, chicken and egg thing.
Happy to, if anybody has they want to display our pictures and put them up and promote Yalla Bud or Afterlife Support.
Yeah.
Happy to put offices.
Very happy. Very happy if you like to do that.
I mean, Afterlife Support, you can see the poster around on some MRT trains.
You mentioned it before.
Yeah, so those are the kinds of things that...
It really helps.
It helps. And we're not even in a conversation. Like, we didn't even know that it was happening, right? Until, I took MRT train and just happened to see it, you know? And... Even just for your own psyche as a creative person, it's nice to see, right?
It's great.
Cool,
man.
Shall we talk a little bit about your one short comment?
Yes. So my one short comment was on the last episode, 522, the new RP system causes frustrations.
Yeah.
And there was someone on Reddit who goes by the name of Singaporing. So like Singapore, the word ing, and they actually like took it upon themselves to go even deeper into the research. And I think on the podcast I mentioned that 2016 the tender was given to the eventual vendors, but they found that 2014 was when the proposals were opened. There was an 18th month evaluation test in Woodlands, and they pointed out that if the process started to even get ready for a proposal started in like 2012. 2016, the thing was awarded. By the time the technology started getting worked on, it was already many, many years behind. And they estimated that like by the time it's rolled out this year, it will be at least 12 years old. And it looks like it. And then Jungle Jimbo also participated in a discussion. Singaporean came back with more info about who was the minister that was there during the evaluations, who was the minister who awarded the tender, who was the minister who had to roll it out. So yeah, great. I appreciate that sort of research to supplement whatever we spoke about.
Yeah
man. What about you?
Cool. My one short comment is from YouTube, from Marty. I think he had previous one short comment, but he said of our last episode about the ERP system and all that. Today's Yalabat episode is a classic example of how news in Singapore is so dry that Terrance and Harish have resorted to scraping the bottom of the news barrel with the new ERP tech upgrade issue and a video by S-Gang with the union and the security association going at each other online. Both got some kind of QC problem as a commonality. And then after that, he says a joke. So I actually think, because I remember Marty had good things to say about our podcast before, I think he meant this as a bit of a joke, right? That is, you know, that this news topics are not as fun or interesting. But the amazing thing is a lot of people jumped in and started fighting at him. You have the option to click away, for example. And then Marty is like, I know, thanks for the option. You can choose not to reply me too. I'm just stating, you know, an option, blah, blah. Then another one, I don't like, then just don't see it all. Don't need to complain. Harsh and Terrence are just talking about issues of the day. That's what they do. Maybe you just don't see and click, you know, something else like the LTA press statement to entertain yourself. By the way, it's scrapping and not scraping and not scrapping. Okay, fine. Then Marty and it tells him, I'm not complaining, just stating a fact. So yeah, I mean.
And he said he liked the show.
He likes the show. He says, I quite enjoy the show. No need to keep responding. Enjoy your weekend. So guys, I mean, you know, everyone on YouTube, you know, sometimes people are also just playing along. They're being, you know, sarcastic or just making some funny comments, right? Yeah. So yeah, don't worry about it, you know. I think it's everyone just watch and listen to the show for whatever ticks your boxes, right? Very hard to police how everyone enjoys the show.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Gotta enjoy the weekend, man. gotta enjoy the weekend. Don't get caught up in, like, comments.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was funny.
It's pretty funny. Just seeing the exchange, I think. Seeing someone who has expressed that he really likes the show get flamed for making a joke.
Oh, but people are getting defensive, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, the yellow butters.
Correct.
Cool. And what about your one short thing, man?
My one short thing is, do you have yours already?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to go first?
So over the weekend, I watched Galaxy Quest on Netflix. Have you heard of that show?
Yes,
It was a show from 1999 that for some reason showed up on Netflix trending recently or something.
Okay.
And it was a show in 1999 starring people like Tim Allen from Home Improvement fame and Sigourney Weaver. And it's kind of like a satirical take on the whole Star Trek fandom. And there's this fictional show that is what it is, a TV show. There are tons of fans around the world, exactly like Star Trek. But the cast, who are now washed up actors and all, get contacted by an actual alien race to help them with their war. Because they've been studying all the shows before and think that they are actually commanders of space vessels. And then they get into a war with another species and then that's what happens. And then unfolds. So It's a very light-hearted movie that has kind of gotten a cult following over time. And yeah, it pokes fun at a lot of things about the whole Star Trek fandom.
I see.
It's an easy watch.
So why are you suddenly watching it?
Because I saw it pop up. I used to really like Home Improvement.
Okay.
I saw it pop up and I thought, hey, actually, now in my current quest to watch more sci-fi shit, I was like, hey, sci-fi comedy.
Yeah.
It seems light-hearted. It's a film. Yeah. Why not? Yeah, it was nice. I mean, it's not like the most gangbuster storyline or something, but it's an easy watch. And it's a fun watch.
I see.
Yeah. And you see some Sigourney Weaver, Justin Long, some other characters all 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so not bad.
Cool.
Nice. What about you?
Sci-fi shows. My one shop thing is a video from Mr. Who's the Boss.
Mm.
I find his recent videos are quite interesting. Now he's attacking iPhone repairs. Not say attacking, but talking about how dire the state of being able to repair your phone is. And he did an experiment where he scratched up 3 different iPhones, and then he went to the cheapest option that he could find online to fix it, the middle option that would use Apple parts to fix it, and the actual the Apple store, go to the actual Apple store to fix it, right? And the results were actually quite surprising in terms of which one was the most expensive and which one was the fastest or slowest and all. But it just threw up a lot of things about why the iPhone, phone repairs are just kind of going to this very strange area where you... sometimes it just makes sense to just throw away your phone rather than go and get it repaired.
But what were the results? I mean, you're not giving away any spoilers.
I try not to give away the spoiler, right?
Just give that.
The big spoiler is that you know, Apple is making it very really hard to use other parts to repair the phones, right?
Mm.
But at the same time, when you go to an Apple store and get it repaired, what comes back is almost it feels like a brand new phone, right?
Mm.
And that's not an experience that you would get with any other third party person who repairs your thing. But now, there are all these debates about Apple's monopolistic power and everything, and especially in the EU, right? Basically, the EU forced Apple's hand to change to USB-C and all that, right?
Mm.
And now people are looking at repairing your phone. Why is it that everything is proprietary and so difficult to do? So that might be the next frontier in governments or judiciary's battle with Apple, right?
Mm.
In terms of whether you should be allowed to do that, to control even the repair process for the phones. So it's quite, because you hear about all these things at the judiciary level, but to see someone actually take the time to go to 3 different types of repair shops and try and get his phone fixed and all, it's an interesting experience. Mr. Who's the Boss.
Mr. Who's the Boss.
Killing it with his videos lately.
I mean, now that MKA PhD got some flack and all, Mr. Who's the Boss is also a tech reviewer.
Yeah.
And he's quite big also, right?
Big, yeah, he's big, yeah.
Oh,
18 million.
18 million.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
All right. First episode of the week. Tomorrow is Parliament is sitting. So yes, There'll probably be some stuff to talk about on Wednesday.
My guess is 5 minutes after we finish this recording, there'll probably be some big bomb. That's it.
Interesting few weeks coming up.
Cool.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. And remember, if you enjoyed this podcast, please do tell at least one other person who may not have heard about us about us. You can follow us on social media. And if you want to work with us, what should you do, Terrence?
Go to ministryoffunny.com. There's a contact us section there. And just write us, tell us about whatever agony problem you might be having.
Sweet. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.